Okay. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just begin here at verse 5. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." Do I have any sons in the house?
Amen.
And daughters. Okay. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens." Read that with me. Say, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And He scourges every son whom He receives." If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there from or there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now the King James uses a little stronger word. It says in verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness." Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Put your hand over your heart and let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, You're going to show us how to be disciples, how to be trained through the chastening of the Lord, to receive it, God, that it might yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. We thank You today, Lord, we will hear Your Word. We thank You, Father, today that we'll give You glory and we'll give You honor. Use me now, Lord, as a vessel You can speak through. I come against any hindrance to this word from going forth. We bind anything the devil would try to do to keep the word of God from penetrating the hearts and lives of Your people. And Lord, in Jesus' name, may You now be glorified, Lord, in what we are about to say. And may we receive it once again with gladness in our hearts. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
I'm going to make a statement to you here. Sons and daughters are disciplined. They are disciplined by the Lord. And today I want to talk to you just a few moments about what it means to grow up, and what it means to become a disciple of the Lord. I think most of you in here understand there's a difference between just getting saved and becoming a disciple. Jesus said it like this. He said, "You are My disciple if you continue in My word." So we don't want to just stay in a babyhood state of our Christianity. We want to grow up. It is the desire, it is the will, it is the heart of God that every believer grow up in the things of God. Just like you as a parent would not desire for your children to stay babies all their life. And there's a progression by which we grow up, because most of you have children in here, and some of you are still, you know, not that stage yet, but probably you will have some when you get married and the Lord tarries. And you're going to desire that your children grow up and do right. Even if you don't name them Dudley. You're going to desire, because you don't try, you'll get that tonight. You desire that your children grow up and do the right things. And you have to teach your children how to do the right things. You have to teach your children how to make right decisions, because there will be a time where you won't be there to make the decision for them. And so every one of us who have children and want to raise children right must teach those children to be right and to do right. If you don't know what's right, it's very difficult to teach your child to do right. And in order to do right, there's going to come a time when we as parents have to discipline our children. And God said in His Word that He disciplines His children. The word discipline and disciple are hand-in-hand words. In fact, we get the word disciple from the word discipline. Now, you know, most children do not like to be disciplined. But I found out most adults don't like to be disciplined. Amen. I heard about a man. He was in the grocery store, and his little, I don't know, 4 or 5 year old started cutting up, acting up in the grocery store. And so he took him by the hand, took him to the car, because he had a paddle, and he was fixing to, you know, give him a little persuader there for all his rambunctiousness that he was doing in the grocery store, causing a scene. And he reared back with that paddle, got him out there in the parking lot, and when he reared back, the child started screaming and hollering. Now, y'all know about that, right? You start to get ready to spin, you know, like you're going to kill him or something. And so he just commenced to kind of paddle him on his legs, and all of a sudden, this lady came out of the blue and hit this man upside the head with her purse and said, "Stop it! Child abuse! Child abuse!" And just started screaming and hollering at the man. And all of a sudden, the little kid stopped crying and hollering and looked at his dad and said, "What's the matter with that lady?" See, all of us, at some point or another, if we're going to do right, we're going to have to be disciplined. Can you say amen? We're going to, you know, a disciple, that's what we mean by a disciple of the Lord. A believer who has received and accepted discipline and correction of the Lord is a disciple. Now that's really the definition. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. It's not just knowing the word, because a lot of people know the word, but you've got to continue in that word. If you continue in that word, then there's going to come a maturity or a process by which you grow up in the Lord. Now, the goal of becoming a disciple is so we can reach that area of holiness, and that the peaceable fruit of righteousness will reign in our life. The whole goal of being a disciplined son or daughter of God is that we might find His plan, fit in that plan, and fulfill the purpose and the will of God for our life. Because if we're not disciplined, and this is probably, as I sit here and give you this today, and it goes out to you know, no telling wherever, one of the things that I do not hear much teaching or ministering on is the chastening of the Lord. And again, if the church in America needs anything today, it needs to learn to allow the Word of God to bring discipline to their lives. We are so used to hearing messages that just minister to our flesh and make us feel good about ourselves. Now, we need to feel good about ourselves. And we need to know who we are in Christ. Amen? And we need to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? And we need to know that we have victory and we have world-overcoming faith, and we do share those things. But you know, there comes a time and there comes a place where in today's society, it's almost like there is no discipline. There's no discipline in the world, and there's no discipline in the church, because people don't like to receive discipline. Well, If you're never disciplined, then the Word of God says that He doesn't love you. One of the ways that we know God loves us is that He brings discipline to our lives. Now, it's up to us whether we receive the discipline, because think about this. You can't spank a little baby and expect that little baby to be corrected from a spanking when he's a little baby. The little baby doesn't even know what he's being spanked for. Are you here? And so there comes a time now when that little baby grows to a little older age, then you can start disciplining that baby so he understands right from wrong. He understands the right thing to do. Well, here's what, you know, is amazing. They tell us people that do these things for a living, I'm talking about professional people that are in child rearing and child raising, they say that by the time a child is 5 years old, if his will has not been broken, now listen to me, I didn't say spirit, you don't break somebody's spirit, but if you haven't broke that person's will by the time they're 5 years old, then that child will grow on up and probably be out of control. They will have social disorders in life. They won't be functioning in society like they need to by the age. Now think about that. If you've got a 3.5-year-old, you've got roughly 18 more months to teach and train that little child to break his will to do what is right. Or otherwise, it's a possibility that that child will grow and be in rebellion and be an outcast for the rest of his life. Now, let me stop and qualify that statement, because even though your parents may not have raised you correctly, God can still find and locate where you're at. And I can see examples of that in the Bible. I can see Jacob in the Bible, for example. His parents didn't do a real good job on him. In fact, his mother spoiled him. He was a mama's baby, a mama's boy, and he wound up spending 20 years plus on his uncle's farm, in Uncle Laban, being chastened by the Lord. And one day Jacob wrestle with God. God got a hold of Jacob, and Jacob limped off, but he limped away doing the will of God. Amen. God can mark you. God can deal with us. So I'm not here saying if your parents messed up on you, you can't sit here today and say, well, I guess I am the way I am because my parents didn't know how to raise me. No, I'm teaching you that you need to learn to raise your little children. Don't take a chance that they're going to have to wait till some later age in life for God to get a hold of them and shake them, because they may harden their hearts so much and they may have rebelled so far that it's almost impossible to get them back to God. Okay? So what I want to talk to you about today is the mark of a disciple. And when we say disciple, it's coming to the place where we have come into maturity as a Christian, where when we hear the Word of God, that it pricks our heart, it deals with us, that we want to do right. I've been troubled in my spirit trying to understand why people that hear the Word of God, but they won't do it. They can see it. Some things don't even need interpretation, but they do need revelation. Some things are just, you know, just as plain as, again, the nose on the end of your face, that this is what God has said in His Word to do. Why would there be any question about it? Why could not a Christian do what God said to do? You know, if you're struggling, for example, because people, they think, what is a disciple? Is a disciple somebody that knows how to quote Scripture? Is a disciple somebody that comes to every church service? Is a disciple somebody that knows all the words to all the songs that we sing? You know, a disciple is somebody that can hear the Word of God, or the Word of God taught to them, or the voice of God speaking to them, or the Holy Spirit revealing to them, and they allow that Word to make correction, or in other words, they receive correction in their life by that Word. Because the Word is designed by God to bring correction to us. And maybe there's some analogy there. Maybe there's some, correlation. If a Christian's been sitting in church for, 5 years or so, and they haven't become a disciple, maybe, just maybe, they've turned off of receiving and hearing anything from God, where whatever said of God doesn't matter to them anymore, and they're off in a state of rebellion. Just like a child that is spoiled, or a child that gets its way all the time, we can become Christians that think that we can serve God on our own terms and do whatever we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. And we don't care who doesn't like it. Well, that is not a disciple of the Lord. Are you here? I told you, it's a little tough on our flesh, but that's all right. Nobody likes to be spanked. But we better allow some spanking if we're going to grow up and reach the goal of holiness, because if we read on down there, it says, without it, no man will see God. Now, when we talk about discipleship, and in fact, people can get off into tangents. They can get off into pursuit of other things. If you look at, let me just show you some things here about the mark of a disciple, because when we study the Word of God, we not only have to look at the text, but we have to look at the context. Now, know what I just said. You know, we read a text of Scripture, but context means that we got to read what's above it and below it, so we get it in context and not out of context. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 12, remember I said a couple of weeks ago, Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews, is about our great salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about, really it ends up talking about Moses. Now I want you to turn just back, and we'll come back here, just turn back to chapter 11. And I want you to see here. Let's read. Let's see here. Yeah, let's read. Let's read verse 23. Are you there? Okay. Just one page back. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born," so he's talking about a baby. Everybody knows the story of baby Moses, right? How Pharaoh put out a decree to kill all the infants. And Moses was like 3 months old, and his mother put him in the basket and floated him down the Nile River. Can I just stop and say to you, when you're a baby, you're cute. There's hardly any ugly babies, especially if they're your own. Amen. And so, when you see just babies, they do cute things, and they're laying there all pretty and cuddly, and, even if they cry, oh, doesn't he cry cute? Everything is kind of just hunky-dory when they're a baby. But, they get up around 15, 16 years old and start acting like that. It ain't so cute anymore, right? So what I'm trying to say to you, your life is not going to be, floating down the Nile River in a basket with your hands behind your head and your knees folded and you just taking it easy. You're going to have to get to a place where you grow up. Everybody say grow up. Okay, so what we see here is a progression. When he was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was beautiful. Every baby's beautiful, right? And they were not afraid of the king's command. All right. Then verse 24, we see the progression here. And I want to show you the first mark of a true disciple. How many of you want to be true disciples? Okay. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now, What he's saying here, and what we're going to find out, that now we see that Moses came to a place in his life where he was no longer after the world's riches, but he was after God's reward. The world will offer you riches, but God offers you reward. Remember that. The world will offer you certificates and plaques, money, you know, you name it. Trophies, you can attain all that in the world if that's what you're in pursuit of. But only God can give the true riches. Only God can give the reward. And at some point, see, a disciple has to make a commitment. That's the first word you need to write down. Because you have to make a commitment which involves making a decision that I am committed to God more than I'm committed to the world. Amen. Why are the churches not filled on Sunday morning? Well, it's very easy, because we have a lot of Christians, but we don't have a lot of disciples. We have a lot of Christians that want to serve God on their terms and at their convenience, because they're in pursuit of something else other than God. And if you want to truly be blessed, you're going to have to understand what Jesus taught. Very simple, very plain. He said, you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve mammon and God Almighty. You're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to hate one and love the other. Now that's plain, that's simple. And so, I know we make excuses, but here's what Moses, let's read on here, because we see somebody who was committed, he refused. Now he was obviously 40 years in the system of the world, being trained by the best schools, eating the best foods, living in the king's palace, enjoying all the privileges of royalty and everything that this world could offer. Moses was privy to it, because that was the house that he was raised up and trained up in for 40 years. But the Bible says that he came to a place where he refused to be called the daughter of Pharaoh. Now let's read on here, because how many know it's easy to choose riches sometime over struggles. It's easy sometime to want to go for the palace and the gold rather than the reward that I can't see yet, but I heard it's there. Are you with me? A disciple comes to a place in his or her life that they have heard the Word of God, and when it comes time to make a decision, they always choose God. I said, when it comes time to make a decision, just like your children. See, a true disciple, just like you want your children, because your children at some point are going to have to make a decision based on what you have trained them or what you have put into them when you are not there. Part of being a disciple is having the character, and character is always somebody that will do the right thing when nobody's looking. Amen. The child that will do the right thing when mom and dad is not there. Hey, a young teenage girl that will do the right thing when the boy's in the back seat trying to take her up on the canal some Saturday night.
Praise the Lord.
Are you here? You're praying and hoping, oh my God. I said, a true, mature disciple, when it comes time to make the decision, already has settled it in their mind.
Amen.
What they're going to do. Refusing. Look at the next verse. Refusing. Look what it says. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Say reward. Because commitment is to make a choice of something better than good. Commitment says, I will make a choice, even though something is good. And there's no doubt money is good. There's no doubt palaces are good. There's no doubt that the world has a lot of good. But you choose something better. And how many know what better is? Are you with me? All right. So reward always goes beyond what money can buy. As a disciple, you learn that money cannot buy the rewards of God. The rewards of God do not necessarily come in this life, but they will come. Now, God blesses us, and we teach that, and God wants us to enjoy the best in His kingdom, in His covenant, and under His government. But if we step out of that sphere and begin to pursue the riches, then we forfeit the rewards. This is what many do not understand, because we are allowed to be able to stand up on our own two feet and make our choices. God does give us the right to make choices. But He will bring discipline to us so that we can make the right choice. Amen. Are you with me? All right. So you need to make sure. Because Jesus, now, we get away from the principles here again, because Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, He said, you will receive the prophet's reward. So the reward will come and the reward will be given out. That's what we call commitment. Making the decision to follow God no matter what else. Just like you can go, and we had time, we'd look at all these stories, but you remember the story of Orpah and Ruth and Noemi? Yes. Naomi? Yeah. They were the daughter-in-laws, and their husbands died. Naomi said, I'm going back to my home country. I'm going back. I don't have nothing, no place, nothing. No money, nothing. And Orpah said, well, I can't go with you, and kissed her and went the other way. And Ruth said, I'm going to cling to you, and wherever you go. She said, I don't have nothing. I don't have a place to go. She said, I don't care. Wherever you go, because you got God. And she became the lineage by which the Lord Jesus Christ came through. Read it. Are you with me? The rich young ruler came to Jesus one day and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said, hey, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor and come follow me. Yes. He hung his head down and he was sad. You know why? Because he was the pursuer of the riches rather than the pursuer of God. The Bible says he went away sadly. So commitment already knows in their heart when that choice comes who they're going to serve. Are you with me? Because the world knows how to dangle out the carrot before us and tempt us with those strong temptations. But a disciple, the mark of a disciple is committed. Now let me move on here because of time. Look at verse 27. It says, by faith, and all this talking about Moses here now, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, that's where a lot of people are. Well, I won't have any friends. And that's why they get in this thing. They think it's better to go out there and to pursue the mammon because they use that as excuse they're trying to win the world. But all the time, they're being seduced and suckered into the world's ways. That's not commitment. That's not standing as a true disciple of the Lord. Making the quality decision that you're committed to what God has said in His Word. And that's what you do. No matter who it bends out of shape, or if you gain business, or you lose business, or you win friends, or you lose friends. You do not compromise, because what you compromise, you lose. What you hold on to, you will be rewarded by God for, if it's of God. Well, he didn't care what the people said. It says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now here's the second mark I want you to write down. First is commitment. Having the ability to make the right decision when the time of decision comes. And now we have endurance. Here's the second mark I see of being a true disciple. A disciple matures to the place where he's always moving towards the rewards. A disciple is one who is always moving towards the reward. Then we come to this place of endurance. A mark of a true disciple is when nobody's looking, just like you want your children to do, that when they're in that place, that they make the right decision. A true disciple is marked by endurance because they are the ones, when things are going rough, they don't fold. They don't fall out. They don't get offended. They don't get, you know, their feelings on their cuff where somebody can knock their block off. They stay true to God and to God's Word. I'm talking about growing up and becoming a mature disciple of the Lord. Now, you want to stay a baby, you know how babies are. If it's too hot, they cry. If it's too cold, they cry. If they're hungry, they cry. If they don't get their mama and they know who their mama is, they cry. They don't get the right kind of milk, they cry. Well, that's the way some Christians are in the spirit. They're just still spiritual babies. They don't get their way, they cry. It ain't going right for them, they cry. It gets too tough because the devil has cranked up the heat, they cry. They quit, they turn, they run from God instead of running to God. A true disciple stands strong in the Lord because he has endurance. And because of the endurance, he can stand when everything else is falling in and everything else is look like it's not going to work, because he knows where his reward will come from and he knows who his God is. And so, he's moving forward. Are you with me? And then look at verse 29, because it tells me the third one here. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So not only do you make a commitment, that's a mark of a disciple. And then not only are you committed, but you learn endurance. Because not every day is going to go just right for you. Then the third thing here is that you become a conqueror, a warrior, a warrior. It's amazing how the Bible calls us soldiers in the army of the Lord. And Paul told Timothy that we are to fight the good fight of faith. But yet Christians don't want to fight. Why do you want to put on the uniform? Why do you want to put on the armor if you're not going to be prepared to fight? Are you here? I mean, we've got to become a warrior mentality, or have that warrior mentality, that we're not going to roll over and let the devil push us around. Amen. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen. You know what more than a conqueror is? I mean, a conqueror is somebody that can shoot a snake in the head. But more than a conqueror is somebody can go up to a snake and put their heel on his head and squish it. You got to recognize. I was watching, I think it's Discovery Channel. There's a tribe, big, tall Big, tall dudes. I mean, Mossy tribe, something like that. Live out in the bush. And you know how they make the transfer of a teenage boy into man? You know how the teenager becomes a man? They have a celebration day, a feast, fire, and they do all their chanting and everything. And they send that teenage boy, whatever age he is, 16, 18 years old, into the bush, naked, with nothing but a stick in his hand, and he has to bring back a lion. If he brings back the lion, he has made the transfer of becoming a man. If the lion brings back the kid, they didn't show that part. Are you here? I'm saying, most of the church today, they don't want to grow up. Amen. They don't want to prove their manhood. And I'm talking about to the ladies too. Listen, ladies, you know, you can't cower down to the devil either. You can't just roll over and just let the devil do whatever he wants to do. See, what we, you know, here's what I see. Every one of us will come to the Red Sea part of our life. Now, you know what Moses went through for those 40 years? He went through hell on earth. He survived, and he survived the 10 plagues that came on Egypt. And when it got time to go, God said go, and he, vamos, I mean he went. But he came to the Red Sea. Now here's the Red Sea, a sea full of water. They got all this gold, they got all this chariots, they got all this stuff, and here comes a wall of water. Behind them is a whole massive army that has never been defeated. Now what are you going to do? See, every one of us will come to a Red Sea experience in our life. We'll come to a place of what are we going to do? I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to trust in the Lord our God. Amen. God said, Moses, what are you going to do? Moses said, I don't know. What do you want me to do? The people are crying. They're complaining. He said, hold up that rod. And when he held up that rod... Now listen, he hadn't seen Exodus with Charles Nelson. He didn't know. He did not know how this thing was going to turn out. But can you imagine? I could just see Charles, I could just see that white hair. And all of a sudden, the land is dry. Where there was an ocean. Look up on the right. Look up. And it had to spread real wide to get that many people. You know, all of a sudden you see dolphins and fish just up there. And you're just... Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And they got on the other side. And Pharaoh said, well, if they can do it, we can do it too. You know what happened? They got out there and God quit blowing. Hallelujah. And the walls of water came and crushed the enemy. I'm saying that every one of us, you and I, will come to a Red Sea in our life where we look and say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Now you can either quit, you can give up, or you can develop a warrior mentality that says, I'm going to stand and fight the good fight of faith. You finish reading that whole book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's example after example after example. It says by faith they passed through the Red Sea. They didn't know what was going to happen. It says by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Impenetrable walls that never had been breached, built to keep the enemy's out, but God breached them through the obedience of a people that did what God said to do. March around it for 7 days. And then seven times. And he said those walls will come down. It's getting to a place where you and I come to our Red Sea, come to our walls of Jericho, And we say, bless God, if God don't go, I'm not going, but I ain't going back. I'm not going into the world. I'm going to take my stand with God. You read on here, you talk about Daniel in the lion's den. Those were not pussycats. Those were not little kitties. Those were big, ugly lions with big, ugly teeth. He got thrown in the pit, and how many know the pit was not lit up? The pit was dark. They'll put a light down there so you can see the lion. They just throw you down there. And you're sitting. What are you going to do when you're in the lion's den? What are you going to do when the lion is roaring and saying, yummy, yummy, I'm about to put you in my tummy. You better stand up and you better know who your God is. You say, lion, you will not eat me because I don't taste good to you. Spent all night in that lion's den with those hungry little kitties. And you don't tame kitties too good. But you know, the next morning, they looked down in there. Daniel said, hi. The lion's over there. Are you with me? You think the fiery furnace, it talks about the three Hebrews going into the fiery furnace. Man, it talks about all the trials, all the afflictions, beaten, stoned. I mean, you name it. It talks about it there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But they had something in common. They were committed. Say committed. They had endurance. They didn't cave in because the enemy came. And they had a mentality that, bless God, I have put on my armor suit. I have been trained for war. I have been in basic training. And the bullets in my gun are real. And one of these days, I'm going to get in a real fight. See, most Christians, they get in a real battle. They come against somebody demon-possessed. They say, oh, call Brother Marvin. Oh, would you come pray for my stepmother? She's really evil. Call Brother Basilio. See, what have you trained yourself? You don't become a soldier and put on the uniform, go to basic training, and then put rubber bullets in your gun, and then go out to the front of the battlefield and think that the enemy's not going to shoot at you? Come on, say, that's dumb. No, you are trained for war. You are trained for war. But really, you don't fight the devil. You fight the good fight of faith. The devil will be taken care of by God. Don't you know he defeated him once? Well, now let's go on here. I got to stop, man. It says, now, let me go back up here. It says, therefore, I'm in chapter 12. Now, come right quick. Let's try to finish this up. Are y'all okay? I told you it's kind of rough for the flesh, but you're going to get out of the flesh this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, therefore, now, we had all these great examples. If you go down and read, I didn't take time to read all the rest of chapter 11. You'll see all of these men and women who were committed, who had endurance, and who were conquerors. They didn't quit when the going got rough. Okay? They went through some hellacious things. Things that you and I will never go through. Things that you and I will never have to experience. Thank God. All right, but there's an example here that went through even more. I said that went through even more than what all of these did combined. Therefore, that's what he's talking about. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. But he's talking about weights, he's talking about sins. That's another teaching, but they're a difference, okay? He said, let us run, say run, with endurance the race that is set before us. We're all in this human race. We're either going to grow up and grow stronger and mature from adolescence, from baby, into a mature disciple of the Lord, or we're going to stay a baby. Now, which do you want to do? I said, which do you want to do? You want to grow up? Or do you want to serve God on your terms? Do you want a child that says, hey, I live here, I eat here, I suck the air conditioner out of this house, you pay the bills, mom and dad, and don't bother me. Now, how many of you want a child like that? How many of you have a child? No, I'm just...
Hallelujah.
Now I've gone to meddling. It says, look, now look at this. Looking unto Jesus. Who?
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
The author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, what? There it is again. Endured the cross. You're talking about a disciple. How many believe Jesus was a true disciple?
Amen.
He was committed to the cause that his Father sent him to do. He had endurance and he was a warrior. He was no, you know, this little thing, little, you know, like Jesus with a little lamb on his back, you know, and little skinny, scrawny. I mean, this guy was, he said, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What is he telling us? He's saying, look, when you get your eyes on all your little petty problems, you say, Pastor, but they're not petty, they're major. They're really putting me into a fix. Look to Jesus. There ain't nobody, no human in this earth ever took on himself what Jesus took on him so that you could be a free man or a woman. All your little stuff, like you didn't get a red car and you wanted a blue one. Oh, you didn't get a four-bedroom house, you got a two-bedroom. Oh, you didn't get the husband that parted his hair on this way, you wanted. You know, on and on and on and on. Getting yourself in some kind of little pity party. Look to Jesus, who suffered, who went to the cross, and they showed some one time, I don't know if you saw it on Discovery too, about ways to torture somebody, ways that human minds have concocted over the years. And one of the worst ones was they put people, strapped them to some kind of a sphere or a ball, and they would toss them off a big tall cliff and they'd roll down, and they did it, you know, computerized and everything, graphic to show how to just tear somebody up to roll down a hill, strapped to a ball. But then they came to a cross. And the cross was in a category all by itself. All the ways that man has devised over the years through his evil mind to torture, to kill another human being, there is nothing that compares with the death upon the cross. And that's what he says here. Listen, there ain't nobody else that shed their blood so that you could be right with God except Jesus. I've been serving God almost 30 years. I've been in some bad situations. I've been in some tough times. But I ain't ever shed my blood for nobody yet. Hello. And that's what he's saying. You look at this. You keep your eyes on this endurance. You keep your eyes on this commitment. You keep your eyes on this kind of mentality of being a conqueror. He says, you have not resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. See, everything that the Word of God is designed to do, it is designed to exhort you that you are a world overcomer. That you can overcome the world by faith. That's what these two chapters are really teaching us. And that without faith, we can't please God. But when we come to God, that we must believe that He is because He's the rewarder. There's that reward again. But then here's this thing I want you to get here as we close. Now look at this. He quotes out of Proverbs. Actually, it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. But he says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Now, let me give you this right quick. There's three levels of chastening. And if we're going to be a disciple, we're going to experience some level are stages of this discipline in our life, if we're going to be true sons and daughters of God. The first one there, he said, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Underline the word rebuke, because rebuke is like when you call your child by name and you say, Johnny, don't do that! Hello? Just the tone of your voice, just the look in your eye, that child knows they are ashamed of what they've done. Amen. Now, sometimes that's all it takes is a rebuke. How many of you ever rebuke your children? How many are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say anymore? Now, a rebuke is just saying no. Now, sometimes God rebukes us like that. Just no. There's something inside of you. All of a sudden you hear no. And you say, oh, okay. But then here's the other level. It says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now it gets a little bit more intense. When there's a rebuke, it comes for calling the person out in order to make that person ashamed of what they're doing. But now comes the chastening. It's like, okay, stop what you're doing, and I'm going to use what you're doing now as an object lesson to show you what you're doing is not right. Like little Johnny, you know, may get up there and pour cereal all over the countertop and put his milk all over the cereal, then go down to do something else, and the cat's up there on the counter drinking the milk out of the cereal. You say, Johnny, come here. Let me show you what you did here. Or you tell your children to take out the trash, and they don't tie up the bag, and they just throw it in there, and then the dumpster guy comes and blows all over the neighborhood. You take him out there and say, now you're going to pick up all the trash on the street here, so you're going to learn your lesson. See, sometimes God has to get a little sterner with it, but the bottom line is that whom He loves, He chastens. You believe God loves you? If He loves you, He will chasten you. It may come through a rebuke. It may come through an object lesson to teach you, to train you, to show you. But then that last one here is the scourge. The scourge. You see that one? What he's saying here is, I'm going to allow something to happen in your life that will strike your flesh. That will, if you will, sting, literally, sting your flesh. Now, please listen to me. You know better than that. I don't teach this. God doesn't put sickness or disease on us to teach us anything. Amen. But there is a place that we can get where we have voided the rebuke, where we've voided the chastening, the object lesson. Hey, man, we can see all through the Bible object lessons. And all of a sudden, God just says, okay, there's going to have to be a sting to you.
Amen.
In hopes that your soul will be saved. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because it will bring infliction. It will overwhelm you in the purpose. Please understand, God is not trying to do something to embarrass you. He loves you. And whom He loves, He will chasten. Because the whole goal of chastening, the whole goal and the purpose of you becoming a disciple is found in verse 14. That you might arrive to that place of holiness, because without it, no man will see God. Well, there's a formula. I'll give it to you, and then I got to close. This is my third closing, right? Discipline takes time. The ultimate goal of all discipline or chastening from God is to put the fear of the Lord in you. Not be afraid of God, but to put the fear of the Lord in you to serve Him in holiness and in righteousness. Okay? Now, here's a little formula. And this would be good for you to write down and even use with your children. Because this is the way God operates. It's freedom equals choices equals consequences equals love. Freedom equals choices equals consequences equals love. You can read down verse 11. Tells us where there's no pain, there's no change, there's no gain. Okay? Don't you love messages like this? But it says afterward. Look what it says. Afterward in verse 11, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. Trained. Say trained. I remember one time I was a young guy working in summer. And I was working in this hospital in this little hick town all summer. I thought it was a hick town. wasn't too saved. And I was working in this hospital, and every day I would park out on the street because there was no parking. And I come back in the evening, and I had a little thing on the windshield. Man, this went on almost all summer. And I just take those little things and put them in my pocket and throw them away. About, a week or two before the summer end, I worked all summer. I came out there, and my car was gone, Lars. I said, somebody stole my car. And I went back in and got on the phone and called the police. I said, somebody stole my car. They said, where was it parked? Oh, it's down there parked by the hospital on the road. They said, what's your license plate number? And I said, well, here it is. And they said, nobody steal your car. We impounded your car. I said, you impounded my car? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, well, you got about 16 parking tickets you ain't paid. I said, but they were only a dime apiece. He said, that's what it was if you'd have paid it when you got it. Now it is $550. Almost all the money I made had to go to bail my car out. See, choice, freedom. I had a freedom. Made a choice. And then the consequences. It's like the son that called his daddy and said, Daddy, they turned off my air conditioner. They turned off. He said, well, check and see if it's a break. No, no. He said, the refrigerator's off too. He said, the lights are off. He said, well, go check the breaker. He said, I checked the breaker. He said, well, go call the neighbor and see if there's on. He said, I did. And they said, there's on too. Y'all already ahead of me, aren't you? The youngster didn't pay his bill on time and they cut it off. Now, should the daddy go down there and pay the extra it takes to get it turned back? Because I called my, I said, hey, I need some money here. Get my car. He said, you did it. You pay for it. Amen. See, there comes consequences for the choices we make. And God will love us all the way through them. He'll say, son, I was trying to get through your hard head. I was trying to get through your cabasut, you know, your mind, that thing between your ears there, with something that would tell you the right thing to do, but you did not listen. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, I want us to stand up on our feet. I got to stop. Where does time go? Come on, somebody praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. How many of you want to be a disciple of the Lord? Then you're going to have to get maturity on your mind. You're going to have to say, you know what? Babies are cute. But they ain't cute when they're supposed to be grown. I mean, babies have very little discipline. Babies, you can spank them if you know, you don't really spank them. You just kind of, but they don't know what you're doing. But when you grow up, you begin to realize what you're doing. Now, if your attitude and your heart says, hey, hit me again. Because I've had people, you know, that was my attitude in high school. Had a coach give you those licks and say, man, that didn't hurt. Next time we went, he drilled holes in that paddle. Woo! I look like Swiss cheese on the rear end. I said, that snorted. Sometimes, you know, we'll learn as the degree gets a little rougher. And sometimes we don't. We can turn into a monster. I'd rather learn just by the mild rebuke. Get up. Church day. Yeah, but why, Lord? Well, you're the pastor. Get up. Remember? Or no. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, you'd rather hear that than have to have an object lesson or have to something sting your flesh to get your attention. No. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be like that Hebrews chapter 11 bunch who always looking for the reward. Always desiring to do right. We've all fallen short and we've all done things, I'm sure, that man, even after we're saved. Anybody here never not sinned after you became a Christian? If you raise your hand, we'll call you up and cast out lying devils. Praise the Lord. We've all done things, right? But oh, can we learn? Can we be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Get to a place where we're not fighting each other. We're not fighting our church, fighting people, but we're fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Winning people to the Lord. Showing them how that no matter what life brings, no matter what comes our way, we can go through it. The Master has said, you're going across to the other side. He didn't tell you that the waves wouldn't be high and the wind wouldn't be strong. He just said, the bottom line is, you will come out on the other side. We will come out on the other side. Say it with me, say, I will.
I will.
I will come out on the other side. What you're facing today, yea, though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will not be afraid of anything. No evil tiding. So in Jesus' name, would you bow your head just a moment? Now again, this is a rough message for Christians, right? This is a rough message for a believer. But what if there's somebody here who's not saved? You see, there may very well be somebody today that's never given your heart to the Lord. It's very difficult to hear from God when you're not saved. In fact, really the only thing you will ever hear is that you need to give your life to me. That's what he says. It's very difficult for you to make right decisions because you're really playing Russian roulette. You're just having to toss it up whichever the way the wind blows. You may make some good decisions and you may make some that are not good. But you need the Spirit of God actively working in your life. So if there's anybody here today that say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I can receive Jesus into my heart? I want eternal life today and I want the Holy Spirit working in me so God can love me through the chastisement of His Word so that I can be trained and I can become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, you're not sure of your salvation this morning, lift your hand anywhere in the room. Lift your hand right now and let me pray for you. If you're not sure you're saved, no one looking around here, just a moment, please. And let's just give opportunity for the Spirit of God. Spirit of the Lord, I release you now. I release you, Lord, to arrest any soul, any person today that's never made you Lord of their life. Lord, they're not sure whether heaven or hell is their destination. They're not sure of their salvation, Lord. Move by your Spirit right now upon them. And God, if they need you today, let them call out. Let them cry out to you today, Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now that's the first one. Now the second one, I want to pray for those today that you're going through some struggles. And you're going through things where it's very tough for you to serve God. Now this one takes even more honesty, especially for a believer. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes things can look so bad and get so seemingly out of hand. It's like, oh, I know I'm saved, but it's a struggle to get in the presence of God. If that's you today, I want you to come up here and let me pray for you. Because I've heard from God. And there's a breakthrough for you. We're going to fast in January. And we're going to all get to that place where we can have the presence of God actively involved in our life. But you know, you may not be there totally today. And it's a struggle for you. It's a struggle for you sometimes even to come to church. It's a struggle for you to get in the Word. It's a struggle for you to pray. It's a struggle for you to get into praise and worship. I want you to step out and come up here this morning. Let me pray. I know this takes bold. This takes real courage in a church like this. But I sense in my spirit there are several of you that need this prayer today. It could be a chastening, a rebuke from the Lord today. That you need that right now. You need a prayer of faith. You need a prayer. Listen to me. That will bring the sensitivity of knowing that God is with you. And that no matter what the external looks like, the internal is working mightily in you. The Word will not return void. It will accomplish what it's sent to do. So I just wait. I mean, you can stand there if you want to, and you can avoid this altar call if you want to, and you can void yourself of the chastening of the Lord. But I know what I've heard from God. You can stand there and resist all morning long, and you can choose and say, hey, I'm okay, or I don't want anybody to know I'm not okay. And you can stand there and you can resist the chastening. But whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And if you will receive it, afterwards it says you'll receive a peaceable fruit of righteousness. How many of you want a peaceable fruit of righteousness? Some of you are being tormented in your minds. Your minds are playing all kind of games with you. Just come on up here. Just have them stand right here in the center just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. And I see all these ladies, and thank God for, you know, y'all's sincerity, honest. It's all the macho men that, you know, you can't break through sometimes. The macho men, they just want to, they want to wait for their flesh to sting before they'll yield themselves to God, because it takes commitment. Say commitment. It takes endurance. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Come on. Takes a warrior mentality, a conquering spirit. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. If Jesus saved you, He gives you the ability to win the battles of life. You may get knocked down, you may get dusty, you may get a bloody nose, but you will get back up like David. You will run towards the battle, not from it. Look at me just a second. You'll be like David. When that intimidating giant stood taller than anybody else, that Philistine named Goliath, listen to me, intimidated the armies of God, but David ran out there and he tried to intimidate little old David, little 18-year-old kid. And David looked at him and said, I come to you in the name of my Lord. And I will take your head off of your shoulders, and I will feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Now in Tex-Mex or English, or that's where I look at you, buddy, is where it's going to hurt. And he did it, didn't he? He transferred that day from being a kid to a man. He faced his Red Sea. He faced his Jericho. Now maybe some of you are in it. Maybe some of you haven't. So I want you today to know that you can't do it anyway. So you better let God take it all the way. Are you listening? Okay. Stretch your hands out to these in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for these that have come this morning. They are being as sincere as they can possibly be. God, I pray right now that the fire of God and the gifts of the Spirit would be stirred in their hearts. The zeal of God, Lord, that would consume them. Not without knowledge, Lord, but the very fire of God, Lord, the same zeal and God exhortation you put on the inside of them when they first came to know you, Lord, when they fell in love with you on that first day that they knew you. God, let them return. See, we have to return to the first love. That's it. Just let it go, sister. Just let it go and say, Jesus, Jesus, I can't do it. I can't do it. But Lord, you can do it. There was no way Moses could split that water. There was no way Moses could take all those murmuring, complaining people. And listen to me. What did God have to do? He had to bring a sterner rebuke. He had to chasten those people. They had to go around the same mountain 40 times to learn an object lesson. Hallelujah. Let's don't spend 40 years learning what we can learn by the grace of God in just one message that we can receive. Hallelujah. That's it. Just receive it, sister. Just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it, my brother. Just receive it right now. Say no to the devil. Let nothing take your commitment. Let nothing take that conquering, that warrior spirit. You know it's there. You know it's there. Desire. Get the mind of Christ. The mind to mature. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this young man, Lord, let him receive it in his language, God. Let him receive it as a minister to him this morning in Jesus' name. I just pray right now that the anointing of God would lift every burden. Let it destroy every yoke in Jesus' name. Declare right now, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Declare, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Now as you sit down just a moment, remember. And I share this a lot. You do not fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with the Word of God. Amen. Learn how to receive the thought of God. And learn to rebuke the thoughts that are not of God. The devil will never tell you to do right. Never. Say never. Never tell you to do right. Praise the Lord. All right, guys, you can bring it. This is our first Sunday of the month. I know maybe some people have left, but this is our mission Sunday, okay? We want to bless and honor missions. I know we got an orphanage trip coming up next week. That's a separate thing we do from missions. But we want to be a blessing this year to missions that we support and honor. We want to go to the orphanage this year. I know you're bringing gifts and bringing some presents for the boys and girls. If you're not privy to that information, stop out there and they'll tell you what we're doing, okay? Don't forget our young people meet tonight. Brother Marvin, our singles meet. But let's take a moment right now. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord what He would have us to do concerning missions this morning. Father, we thank You right now as we open our hearts, Lord, open our ears to hear You once again. Lord, this is our seed today for missions. This is our offering, Lord, we give to help spread the gospel, Lord, to support those out in the field. Lord, those that are doing the work of God, wherever they may be, wherever You'd have us be led to give to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you need an envelope, the ushers will give you one. Let's come and do this, and then we'll go home, okay? Is everybody okay this morning?
Amen.
Are you blessed? All right, praise God. Thank you, Lord. We'll let you go here in just a second. You've been very patient today. I don't know how come we're going such overtime, but praise the Lord. Well, I know why we're going overtime, because you got a long-winded preacher. And the clock runs fast. We'll figure a way to slow the clock down. Praise God. Come on, after you give, and then stand up on your feet, and we'll just pray over you. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Believe God for multiplication of your seed sown today. Thank God for being part of our church. I believe we'll have a watch night service. You can stand up. We're going to have a watch night service on December the 31st. It'll be a Wednesday night. Have some of our men and ladies maybe speak and bring a word. Start the new year with the Lord's Supper. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Let's pray again for the greatness that God's going to do and has done. Continue to pray for our families, lost ones during this time of the year. I think the ladies are getting together next Saturday morning. You can see Wita or stop at the desk. A lot of things. We don't have time to make all the announcements for, but if you're interested, you can find out what your church is doing. Amen. All right, well, let's stretch our hands out to each other. Father, I pray Psalms 91 over your people today. I pray, God, that you watch them and keep them, Lord, in the apple of your eye and the palm of your hand. Make your countenance to shine over each and every one of them. Lord, protect them wherever they go this week, Lord. Let favor go before them. Let the divine hand of the Lord and your Holy Spirit lead and guide them. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen,
amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord.
Other than the CD, are you going to have notes on all that?
On what?
On what you just taught me.
Well, that's why we're believing God for the... Let me turn this. That's why we're believing...